If you've got your Bibles this morning, go ahead and find James chapter 1. We'll be reading verses 2 through 4 today. Be reading verses 2 through 4 as we continue our look through the book of James this week. Before we get started and read our memory verse and all that, I don't think we do this often enough. And so I meant to do it last week and forgot about it. So we'll do it this week. But I think we ought to take time to celebrate things from time to time as they occur in church. There's enough, if you watch the news for any length or look on Facebook or social media, a lot of times everything is negative and bad and who's killed who and who's done this and who's done that. And oftentimes I don't think we stop to celebrate all the good things that happen. And so let me just kind of rattle off just three things here this morning that I think are worth us celebrating as a church, okay? So here's the first one. I don't know if you've noticed, but for those of you who read the bulletin intensely, you should always look at it, right? You'll notice that we all have been, our giving has been phenomenal over the last 2 months. Now, I don't know if you realize this or not, but usually giving in the summer goes, but y'all have done the opposite. So that's that's amazing. That's great. Like without your offerings and your tithes, like we couldn't do all that we currently do and want to do. So thank you. Like that's worth celebrating. Like it's huge. We've added, if memory serves me correct, 5 new members over the last 2 months. That's huge. That's big. But here's the thing that I think is worth celebrating the most. And we keep track. You may not know this, but we kind of keep track of attendance every Sunday. And for the last 2 months, probably maybe a little bit more, 25%, I want you to think about this, 25% of our attendance has been 12th grade or under. That's huge, huge. Let me tell you why that's huge. When I was in youth ministry, and it's even before that and then into now, the statistic was that if you had 10% kids or 10% teenagers in your ministry, that was really good of your Sunday morning attendance. So if you had 100, if 10 of those were teenagers, that was great. If 10 of those were kids, that was great. We're at 25%. So we're more than double the statistical average of what is good. So that's a testament to everybody here. So let's keep it up. Let's keep on going. Just some things worth celebrating. All right, let's read our memory verse for today, and then we'll get into James 1, 2 through 4. You ready? All right, here we go. John 11, 25 through 26. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" John 11, 25 through 26. Very good, very good. All right, I want to ask you a question this morning. I'm going to get a drink of water. A little dry this morning. We'll use this in a minute too. All right. Have you ever had a situation in your life that did not go the way you thought it would? Did anybody have one of those this week? Did anybody have one this morning? Like you wanted to wear that shirt and the iron broke, or you were supposed to iron it last night and you woke up late because your alarm didn't go? Anybody? All right. Well, some of you might have thought when I asked the question, have you ever had something that didn't go this way? You might have thought that was my entire week. For the unfortunate few of you, you may have thought, that's been my entire month. And for the very unfortunate of you, some of you probably have thought, that's been my entire year so far, right? Right? Not everything's been that way, but, you know, that's the way we often look at that, right? Well, here's the crazy part. We go through life, and a lot of times things don't go the way we thought they should go. There was a moment in my life where I thought I wanted this one job, that it would have been great, and I didn't get it. And then I was like, ugh. Turned out it was a good thing I didn't get it, right? You may have had a relationship that you wanted to go a specific way. Or there was a car that you had always wanted to buy. Or, you know, you were like, hey, we're going to do this budget. This budget is going to really save us a lot of money. And then the car tears up. Or your house needs a roof, right? And all of that goes out the window. Or you had this really great idea that you thought was going to save your business or your company. And you tried the idea and it just didn't work out. So we go through life and we often have these times where we think they're going to go one way and they end up not happening. And some of us, for some of us, those have been catastrophic things. And for most of us, they're little things here and there that just don't go our way. Well, the interesting thing is that James 1, 2 through 4 speaks to this exact issue of what do we do as Jesus followers, what do we do when things don't go the way we think they ought to? All right, so we're going to read this. We're going to read this passage, and then we're going to jump right in. All right, here we go. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Now, as we get into this message, remember the question we're going to answer is, what do we do when things don't go our way? But in order to answer that question, we need to look at three phrases in the verse before we can get a good answer. We could answer it right off the bat, and I could just tell you the answer, and we could go home and be like, huh? But James walks us through as to why the answer is the answer, okay? So this is like, think of it like show your work in math class, right? I used to hate that because sometimes I could do the math in my head, and I'd get the right answer, but you didn't get credit if you didn't show your work. Does anybody remember that? I hated that, right? Because, like, I got the answer. Why do I have to show my work? I know the answer is. It's 4. Why do I have to show 2 + 2 = 4, right? But show your work. So think of this as the question of show your work. Because we're going to show your work. James is going to show us the work on why the answer is the answer. But in order to get the answer, we've got to understand three phrases or three words in this passage. Here's the first word you need to understand, and you really need to understand this one because it's going to come up in a couple more weeks and probably another couple times in the book of James, okay? And here's the first word, trial. You need to understand what the word trial means. I'm going to give you the definition, and then we're going to work through the passage, okay? The word trial, if you're a definition person, here it is. To learn the nature or character of someone or something through extensive testing. To learn the nature or character of someone or something through extensive testing. So the word picture, the ancient word picture that James is using is when metals were being tried in a furnace. And what would happen is the metal worker, the foundry person working at the foundry, they would take the raw metal and they would put it in a furnace and they would heat it up to a certain temperature and it would make all of the impurities rise to the top called slag, and then they would scrape the slag off to get rid of all the stuff that would weaken the metal or denature the metal they were trying to get in its purest form for whatever use they were going to use it for, right? And so the word picture here that James is drawing on is from the metalworking field where you raise the temperature up to get the slag, to get the dross out of it. You scrape it off so that you have a pure form of the metal that you're trying to try to then work with. And so what James is importing into our lives is that at moments in time, throughout the course of our life, there will be things that occur in our life. They may come from people, they may just come from life, right? That will happen, that will test our character and what's on the inside. Not what's on the outside, but what's on the inside. They will test what's on the inside. All right, you with me so far? Trials, so if you want the shorthand version, trials equal tests on the inside. Tests of our character. Not what's out here, not our abilities, not our talents, but what's on the inside, our character. All right? So here's the interesting nature of trials. Trials, as I just said, test what's on the inside. But in doing so, they only bring out what is already on the inside. Let me give an example. This is a Diet Coke can, right? Now, I have drunk. Which one is it? We had this conversation in our house. English majors, please let me know afterwards. We drank or drunk this. I disposed of this morning, okay? Drank, correct? It's drank, right? Yeah, all right. I did it this morning with this Diet Coke can. You can see it is empty. There's nothing in here. But I want you to pretend that the Diet Coke is still in here, okay? Now, if I were to then test this Diet Coke by shaking up, what's going to come out? But is Sprite going to come out of the Coke, Diet Coke? What's going to come out? Fizzy Diet Coke, right? I'm not going to get Dr. Pepper. I'm not going to get regular Coke. I'm not even going to get Coke Zero, which is like fake Coke, like, right? I'm not going to get anything other than Diet Coke, right? Because Diet Coke is in the can. So here's what you need to realize about trials. Trials only bring out what is already inside. They don't make what's inside. They just bring out what's inside. For example, this nice cup has water in it. If I were to, like, shake it up, what would go everywhere? Why? Because water's inside. Now, if I were to pour this water in this Diet Coke bottle and then shake it up, what's going to come out? Water, because water's inside. Here's what you need to understand about trials. There are moments in our life, through people, things, or circumstances, that bring out what's on the what's already on the inside. So, therefore, it is irrational for any of us to say, well, if that person hadn't have done that, I wouldn't have done blank. No. Blank was already on the inside of you. That person just helped you bring it out. Right? Ooh. Right? Don't blame the trial on what comes out. What comes out was already on the inside. The trial just exposed it. Right? And that's not necessarily a bad thing. Because remember, what a trial's supposed to do? Bring out all the bad so you scrape it off. So that you become a better person. We'll define that in a little bit more in detail in just a minute. Right? So trials only expose what's already inside. One of my great youth pastor friends' famous example is, if you squeeze an orange juice is the only thing you're going to get out of it. Right? Because that's what's inside. So in life, think of it this way. If you want to think of it that, whenever your Dr. Pepper can gets shook, whenever your life gets rattled, whatever comes out was what was already in. And then when it comes out, you got to deal with it. Here's the crazy part about James. That's what we're actually going to talk about next week. Is whenever you're shook and what comes out ain't what you want it to be, how do you get it? How do you change what's on the inside? That's next week. This week, we're just dealing with how do we handle, what was our response when things don't go our way. First thing is trials. But notice what he says, okay? Because James just doesn't say, consider it or count it pure joy, trials, period. He says, when you face trials of various kinds. I want you to note three things about that phrase. When you face trials of various kinds. Here's the first one. He says when, not if. He could have said, consider joy if you face trials of various kinds. Right? That would mean there's contingency. That would mean you may face trials, you may not. He doesn't say that, does he? Look, he says, when. Meaning, you can be certain as a follower of Jesus that things will not work out like you always think they will. And you will face moments in time when you are shook up, so to speak, to reveal what's on the inside of your life. Count it as a fact. Go ahead and mark it on the calendar. It will happen. It's not if, but when. Notice the second thing. Notice he says trials with an S, not trial. He doesn't say, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet a trial, period. He says, when you meet trials. So not only can we count on the fact that it will happen, but we can count on the fact that it will happen multiple times throughout the course of our life. Here's the third thing. Notice he says, when you meet trials of various kinds. So It's a matter of fact, it will happen. It will happen multiple times. But here's the other thing you need to realize about those shaking moments in your life. They won't always be the same. They absolutely will be different. And if you think about your life for any length of time, you will realize that is very true. Because at certain moments in your life as a teenager or a young adult, as a college student, you faced vastly different trials than you do today as an adult with kids out of the house, a senior adult with grandkids. You face vastly different trials than you did when you were a kid. And that's exactly what James is telling us. James is telling us your trial is going to be different at different seasons in life. And here's why. Let me give you an example from the athletics world. I'm, like I did last year, coaching Tucker's 8-year-old football team this year. And we've got some pretty good athletes on our team. But here's what we don't do. We don't do the exact same drill, one drill, every day. Now, I'm going to ask you why, but you probably intuitively already know why. Because if we only did that one drill, while our football players would be spectacular at that one drill, they would be lax in every other skill area that they need to be successful at playing football. See, if the Lord only allowed us to go through one specific trial, even though we did it multiple times at different seasons of our life, we would be ill-equipped to face everything else in our life. Because as you and I know, every day brings different challenges, right? And if you're not able and capable to meet those challenges based off of your experiences and what God's allowed you to go through, and while you may be great at dealing with X, life isn't going to always be X. It's going to be the gamut of the alphabet, so to speak. And so what James is saying is that God allows moments in your life, allows seasons, allows times in your life to challenge you, to shake you up, to reveal what's on the inside. And that may look different at different seasons in your life. It's not always going to be the same. And you say, well, why can't it always be the same? Hold on, we're going to get there in just a minute. But here's the cool thing. James absolutely could have stopped. I love asking the question of why when I read the scriptures. And I love asking at this point, why doesn't James stop his sentence there? It would make sense, right? Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, period. All right, let's do it. He puts a comma, and here's what you need to know about the comma. The reason there's a comma is because trials are not the end of the line. Trials are not just for trial's sake. They are not the end. They take us, they are a conduit. They take us somewhere. Miss Kathy, go ahead and go to verse 3 real quick. What does it say here? For you know, and we're going to get to our second word we need to, for you know that the testing of your faith produces, here's the second word you need to know, steadfastness, right? James says that trials take us somewhere. God's not a megalomaniac who's on a power trip who just likes to see people suffer and things not work out your way, but he says they are necessary to take us to somewhere else. And James says that place is steadfastness. Now here's, if you're a definition person, here's your definition for steadfastness. It is the ability to continue in difficult circumstances. The ability to continue in difficult or through difficult circumstances. So James says that trials, the shaking up of our lives to reveal what's on the inside, is not just to reveal what's on the inside, but to reveal what's in the inside so that we move to a place, I like the word, grit and determination, right? That produces grit and determination in our life. We don't use steadfastness a lot. It's not a word we throw around a lot, you know. Determination, grit, like character, right? So I'll use my little 8-year-olds as an example. The other day we were riding in the car, and it's hilarious. It was a hilarious moment. We were coming back from football practice this week, and I mean, you know, this week was atrocious out there. It was hot. all of us coaches were hot. So I kind of felt bad for the boys, but I kind of didn't at the same time because I know what's coming. And I know what I mean by that is our first game is August the 24th at lunch at 12. It's going to be 1,000 degrees out there, right? So I know what's coming. So on the way home from practice the other day, he said, Tucker, right in the back seat of the truck, he's like, Daddy, I'm going to tell you this. Don't be mad at me. I'm not trying to be ugly. He said, but you coaches, y'all are masters of torture out there. And all I could do was laugh, right? All I could do was laugh. Because, I mean, we make them run like Friday. It was hot. And at the end, if they done had an hour and 25 minutes of practice, at the end of practice, we run sprints. And so they ran from the goal line to the 10-yard line and back, to the 20-yard line and back, to the 30-yard line and back, to the 40-yard line and back, to the 50-yard line and back, to the 25-yard line and back, to the 10-yard line and back. That's seven. Like that's a long way. Why? Why do we do that? Not just to be mean because we want to, like, see them run, but so it creates this in their life so that on August 24th, they're not out there passed out on the middle of the field because we haven't helpfully created grit and determination in their lives. And and that may be a silly illustration, but in a real way, that's exactly what trials in our life, in life, do for us. They help us create grit and determination. I love the song that we sang today. We didn't plan that, by the way. Peace in the Valley. But I want you to think back in your life. When are the moments where you grew the most in your life? Was it on the mountaintop when everything was easy? It wasn't for me. It was the times when I was in the pits in the valley of life. That's when I grew the most. That's when I grew toward maturity the most. Not when I was up here. But it was not even when I was going up here. But it was when I was down, when things didn't turn out the way that I thought they were going to. Those are the moments that I grew the most. That's where I took the biggest leaps in my life. And so James says that trials allow are the conduit that get us to the place of building up the ability to deal with difficult circumstances in our life. But James doesn't stop there. But he says, even as great as steadfastness is, that's actually not the end goal either. But it itself is another conduit to an even greater end. So put up verse 4. Let's read it again. And let steadfastness have its full effect. That means let it run its course. And here's the end. That you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Trials, the shaking up moments of our life, allow us the ability to bring out what's on the inside so we can deal with it and allow us to create grit and determination in our life so that God can take us from where we are to who we ought to be. And that is, if you want to understand in maybe some easier language than this, mature, whole. That's what he's saying. So that we may be whole, complete, mature, right? Let me phrase my question I just asked. I just asked, when did you grow the most? But let me ask you this. When were the moments when you matured the most? Can I just speak with you here for a minute? It wasn't right after Holly and I got married, you know, like in that first few months. But it was probably in like year 2 or 3 where I realized, this ain't quite as easy as I thought it was going to be. She ain't doing what I told her to do, right? If she would just listen to me, things would work out better, right? She probably thought the same thing. She still thinks the same thing, right? I heard it just a little bit ago. You know what? Another moment in maturity was. It wasn't after. It was. You know, we got through that little rough patch year 2, 3, and man, like 5, 4, and 5. Man, they were great and awesome. And then we had kids. And then we realized kids don't sleep like you sleep. They hungry. They want food. And you think, oh, that precious little baby that was like the joy of your life. And when you come out of the hospital, you realize, like with Tucker, we look like death warmed over coming out. Like our leaving the hospital photos, they look terrible. Like we look zombies coming out. And then you get him home and he don't want to sleep through the night. And then we realize everybody is like the spawn of the evil one without sleep in our house. And so nobody sleeps for weeks on end and weeks on end, and somehow you make it, and then you get to the end and you realize, I made it, right? And then you get to the terrible twos. But see, for us, the terrible twos, whoever wrote that book didn't have three-year-olds. Because then you get a three-year-old and they realize they can say no and have attitude. And then you make it through that and you're like, we made it. Oh my gosh. And what I realized in my life is the moments that I matured the most as a person wasn't at college having fun. Because college is fun, right? It's awesome. Like, you're sort of an adult, but you're not. So if you do stupid things, everybody just goes, oh, they're in college. It's okay. Right? But then you get married and you're like, this is work. And then you have kids. It's like, this is worker-er. Like, this is like hard stuff going on here. And those are the moments in my life where I realized I matured the most. And it's the same in our spiritual lives as well. The moments we mature the most are not the easy sailing through. The moments where we're shooken up and what's on the inside really comes out and we realize, I'm not exactly as mature as I thought I was. Right? Now remember, next week we're going to deal with, in those moments when we're not as mature as we thought we were, what do we do then? Right? But today, all we're dealing with is, in the moment, what's our response? And so James says that trials, the shaking up moments, lead us to steadfastness, which lead us to maturity. So now we're going to answer the question of, what should our response be? And it's at the beginning. If you could put verse 2 back up. The very first words. But now we can understand why we can say this. Because if we just said this and James just put a period, it would kind of be like, really? Right? Because James says, our response should be one of joy. It says, count it all joy. Another way you can read it, maybe in your translations, consider it great joy. And James says, the reason we can consider it great joy is because we know that trials are not the maniacal, megalomaniac-produced God who just wants to see us suffer. But no, they are moments in our life that God is using to take us to look more like his son, Jesus. And therefore, we can count it joy. Now look, I didn't say happy. I didn't say it. There's a difference between happy and joy. In the moment when you were shook up, be mad. Be unhappy. That's okay. But in the back of your mind, know this moment, and you may not figure it out till years down the road, and sometimes you may never figure it out. But know in that moment that that is taking you somewhere, that God is trying to do something in your life to create wholeness and maturity in your life. So in the moment, be mad. Be unhappy. Stomp your foot. Kick something. Go outside and chop wood. If you need some, you can come to my house. I'll give you an axe and some wood. You can get out your frustration there. Like, that's cool. That's what I do when I'm upset, right? Chop wood. Right? Do whatever. But in the moment, still realize in the back of your mind, this is taking me somewhere. And that's what James is meaning. He's saying, consider it joy. Deep down inside, know that God is moving you from one place to another so that you can be mature, so that you can look more like Jesus. I read an article or story several years ago about ancient stone sculptors. And the story goes, and I don't remember the whole thing. I'm going to give you the piece that's important for today. One of the master stone sculptors of the, you know, ancient times or whatever, was asked the question, how do you take one big stone block and how do you make it into a true sculpture? You know, like one of those is like, you know, David, you know, was it Michelangelo or David or whatever? How do you go from solid stone block to David? And listen to the sculptor's response. It's very simple but very profound. He said, I take away every piece that doesn't look like what I'm trying to create. Think about it. He takes away every piece that doesn't look like what he's trying to create. So in his mind, he has an image of what he's trying to create. And every strike of the hammer on the chisel is to take away a piece that doesn't look like what is in his mind. And in a very real way, that is exactly what trials are in our life. To look at another picture. God has placed in us the image of Jesus Christ. And through different trials in life, and that's why you got to have various kinds, because God is trying to chip away all the little pieces in our life that don't help us look more like Jesus, right? And so that's James 1, 2 through 4. So what do we learn today? What did we learn? What did we learn? Real quickly, I want to give you like one kind of phrase to take away and tell you one story. If I could sum up James 1, 2 through 4, it would be this: growth toward maturity. Trials, steadfastness, wholeness is all trying to get us from where we are to growing into mature followers of Jesus. I don't know if James would agree with a lot that a modern day rap artist would say or sing, but I do think James would agree with one statement that modern artist T.I. would say. Now, some of you don't know who T.I. is. Some, if you don't know who it is, don't worry about it. Don't YouTube it. But I do like one song that he does sing. And it's not actually in the song. It's what he says before. Some of you may know this song, right? So before this one particular music video, T.I. has this little spoken word part before he sings the song. And here's what he says. I do think a James would agree with this. Sometimes on the way to where you are going, you might think this is the worst time in your life. Been there. But you know what? At the end of the road, if you can get where you want to be, you remember whatever didn't kill you makes you stronger. And here's the important part. Here's the line I want you to hear. And that all the adversity was worth it. I don't think James and T.I. would agree on a lot, but I do think they'd agree on that line. You know what? If we go out, I'm not saying this is hypothetical. If we go out on August 24th and Ottawa 8 UT wins their ball game, you know what they're not going to remember? The sprints we ran on Friday. Win or lose, you're not going to remember them, right? But all those sprints we ran, they'd be worth it. And you know what? All those moments in my life that have been difficult, and they've been struggles, and sometimes I've done better than others, and sometimes I have done worse. All of those moments, I wouldn't give anything for those, because all of those moments, God has used to chip away a little bit of me that doesn't look like Jesus, so that one day I can be complete, whole, perfect, lacking in nothing, and fully mature. And I consider it joy today to have gone through all of those and wouldn't give anything for those. Growth toward maturity. Where are you at on the spectrum this morning? I don't know where you're at, but you do. And so in this moment, as Pastor Joe makes his way up and Miss Reba makes her way up, you're going to have a chance to respond. Some of you may know, hey, I need to mature in this area. Man, I need some help. Man, pray about it this morning. You pray in your seat. You can come down. If you want me to pray with you, I'd love to pray with you. Whatever decision you need to make, now is your time. Lord, thank you so much for this day. Lord, thank you for your grace and mercy. Lord, as much as sometimes we don't like it, and as much as sometimes it hurts and it's painful, Lord, thank you for those moments in our life when we're shook up. Lord, because it reveals where we need work so that we can move toward maturity. Lord, I pray that you would help us to be mature this morning. Not just mature in knowledge and understanding, but mature in spiritual matters. Help us to look more like Jesus in the days and weeks ahead. Lord, may the condition of our heart be mature. May the thoughts of our mind be mature. Lord, may we be mature in everything that we do. And Lord, may we look more like Jesus.